I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back. And if it's your first time, you just stumbled in here randomly, welcome. And let me tell you what we do here. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. Joining me as always, a man who is now having a hard time breathing because shit is just really, really crazy up in the north, Corey Morissette. How you feeling, dude?
Hey, every week it's a new apocalypse, Mark. And if it's not, you know, a massive snowstorm or a massive flood or a massive heat wave, this week we have wildfires in Saskatchewan. And all the smoke from the 29, I believe, wildfires up north is now filtering its way down south. My good friend Kevin Brown, who's lurking here tonight, I'm sure they had their fair share in Saskatoon today as well, but we had to cancel like all the sporting events outside. They don't recommend people leave the house because it is so smoky. It's always something, but I gotta tell you, Mark, every time you do the intro and you say one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, I hear Eric Sanchez's voice in my head saying the greatest, the
Of course
you keep fucking that up, the greatest.
Well, because if I say the greatest, you know how fickle some of our listeners are, not our fans in the audience that we interact with on a regular, because you guys are great, but we have particular people who still listen to us and still love to trash the shit we do. And you know, it's just better that I not find any excuse for them to just call us a shit show just because I called this band the greatest rock and roll band, because they go, oh yeah, what about this band? What about this band? Like, okay, it's fine. We'll play that.
What
game.
About Blink 182?
Yeah. What about Blink? What about, you know, and you know, we're part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, and they've all got their own podcasts, their own shows about their respected rock band. So, you know, we're not trying to diss them by saying, yeah, these shows are great because I mean, they're okay because the bands they're talking about are fine, but it's not the greatest rock band. That's what we do. I don't know. That just comes across as arrogant. So better we just avoid that whole mentality and that whole mindset entirely. So I very diplomatically say one of the greatest rock bands. Cool. Savvy. Everyone good with that? All right.
Fair enough. Yeah, we're good.
But I mean, at this point, it's muscle memory doing by using that particular verbiage, and to change it now would just be blasphemy and chaos, and I can't do that. But you know what I can do, Corey? I can always say that it's gonna be a fun show when we are joined by fun guests, and we do have an awesome guest with us on the show this week. We have a super fan. I'll say super fan, even if he may not agree with it. I'll say it. Super fan of the show. Definitely, probably super fan of Van Halen, and our respected Patreon member Matt Lacoste. What's up, Matt? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, fellas. Thanks for having me back. Super fan of both. How about that? How about that? I love what you guys are doing here.
I accept it.
Love it.
We love it. We appreciate you. There's your first shot of the night. There you go. Take it. And welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back. And you must have had a decent time last time you were here, because we didn't seem to run you off, and here you are yet again. And I'm very curious as to what you're going to manifest for tonight's show, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. How you been since the last time we heard from you, Matt?
Fantastic. It's life, living life. It's moving too fast. I think I joined you guys before I went to Vegas,
right?
Back in November,
yeah.
Which was a crazy thing. So I saw, went to Vegas, bumped into and met Billy Idol. I made him meet me. It was funny.
That's amazing.
He's like 5'3" and yeah, I ran up to him. I was like, Billy Idol. And
he is security not people, man,
not stop me. And they were just kind of like, hey man, I'm like, no, I'm cool. And I just fist bumped him. And he said something about love you, mate. And I'm like, love you back. And I just walked away, which was cool.
Just walk away unless you avoid the awkward moment.
yeah, for sure. It was quick. I had to do it. And then I told Corey I saw Aerosmith out there, and they were amazing. They were really good, man. It was something.
That's awesome. Yeah, one more chance to see them. They got one more tour coming nowhere near me. Mark, you'll have an opportunity, but I won't.
Well, we'll see. I do actually, I have an in with certain people that I could very easily get to that show. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's all about timing. And frankly, because they're such a huge band, and because Nashville is such a music town, that show will probably sell out real, real quick. So we'll wait and see. But
have you seen them?
No, never live. I've never seen them live. So it's definitely one that I feel like I should do before they call it quits and mean it this time, you know?
So they're worth it. Like, they're still good. Steven Tyler's still, I can't believe he's whatever age he is, 73 or right. Something like that. And he was perfect. And it was one of the last shows before he like got sick and they canceled the rest of the residency, but the band was really good. So they're going out kind of on top. Like I've seen, the band we're about to talk about. I saw the last Van Halen tour and I saw them all each time they came around. But that last one, man, was rough. That was rough. Roth was not great. Steven Tyler, great. Great.
And that's not to say that Steven is not without his, slight imperfections these days, because, you know, these guys get old, and when they get old, they just can't do the stuff they could do when they were younger, whether they were enhanced or not. It just, age comes for us all. But that's good to hear that, Steven, despite all of that, could still rock pretty damn hard. So I'll see what I can do to make that happen should they come this way.
Cool.
But this is not Backtracks. That's a different show with Corey.
It could be. I could see if Mariano's around, we could do a Backtracks. We'll get Scott Haskins.
I'm shocked he's not lurking around somewhere, but if you say his name three times, then he shall appear.
That's right. And, that's one. Got to be careful. Yeah.
We can only send him back to the fourth dimension where he belongs by saying his name backwards, or getting him to say it rather. But in order to avoid that entirely, we're going to talk about Van Halen, because that's what you all came to hear about. And you mentioned Eric Senich off camera there, Corey. So, but speaking of Eric Senich and the Van Halen news desk, what is the word going on over there?
So, yeah, I touched on it briefly last week, but the Tapes Archive has done an unofficial rockumentary on the early days of Van Halen. There's going to be 5 episodes. There's a trailer for it on the Van Halen news desk. It's a 1984 documentary. Episode 1 is Building 5150 Studios. Episode 2, The Road to the Yes Festival. Episode 3, The Making of the 1984 Album. Episode 4, The 1984 Tour. Then Episode 5, Van Halen Breaks Up. So I just wanted to give those boys a plug. And I can't wait to check out that documentary. It's going to be coming out here later this month, Episode 1. It'll be on YouTube for everybody to check out. So that's on there. A little quote from Gene Simmons has been making the rounds this week about Eddie Van Halen. He said, end quote, he's a little furious with the younger generation since Eddie Van Halen's death. And I'll just read you the last little bit of his quote here. But Gene Simmons says, as much as his death was upsetting, it also made me a little furious that so many of our so-called younger generation remain unaware of his talents. For fuck's sakes, parents should be slapping mobile phones out of their kids' hands and telling them to check out this guy. Our millennials need to know about the most important musician since Jimi Hendrix. There will never be another like him. I tell you, I don't know if I agree with Gene on a lot, but that makes sense to me.
That's exactly where I was going. It's like, of all the things I might have expected Gene to say, it wasn't that. And that's a good thing. Because, you know, Gene could have, we, and everyone who've, if you've listened to the show, we've touched on it, but also if you just know more than we do about Van Halen history, Gene Simmons comes into play quite, you know, he's a feature player in the history of Van Halen. So, but also Gene is Gene, and Gene says things and he thinks the way he does. So it would be very plausible if whilst discussing Eddie Van Halen, he would still somehow make it about himself. And I don't know, maybe he did in the rest of the quote, I don't know, but at least for this little bit that you read for us, Corey, he didn't do that. He instead kind of aired out the frustration, the grievance, if you will, with you young people, with you millennials, and you don't even know who Eddie Van Halen is. How dare you? And honestly, I agree with that. I agree with that. There was this is a slight digression, but it's relevant. At one point, superstar Billie Eilish was on Jimmy Kimmel not that long ago, and he had mentioned the name Eddie Van Halen to her, and she said, "Who?" It was very like me being a non Billie Eilish fan, and that only for the if nothing else, just because, like, okay, look, I'm not trying to say she's terrible. I'm just here to say what she does is not for me. I tried. She sounds very sleepy, and I don't want to go to sleep. But a lot of people love her, and that's great. But something about that response of "who" just really didn't sit well with me. But to be fair to her, she's also just recently 18 years old. So I guess it would make sense she wouldn't know who Eddie Van Halen is, because Van Halen, as popular as they are, all through the years, and I get it, but they haven't been in the, like, big spotlight in terms of pop culture for a while. So for a young person raised in the TikTok generation like Billie Eilish, I can understand it. It doesn't mean that I'm happy about it, but I agree with you, Corey, and I agree with Gene's comments. Matt, what do you think about all that?
As my guy Gary Busey said in Point Break before he smacked that dude in the face, respect your elders. I kind of get it too, but at the same time, you're a famous pop star, but getting to the Billie Eilish of it, like, give me a break. I mean, come on. How do you not know? That's a troll bullshit fucking thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know who Eddie Van Halen is. I'm 16, 17, 18 years old. And of course I'm into music already, and I know most, but, like, even my friends would know who Pete Townsend was or whatever. Right. Well, isn't that guy from the Who? I don't like that band. Like, who?
Right.
That's such bullshit. Get the fuck out of here with that. I like the smacking the phone out of the kid's hand thing. Cause that's, I've got two and they're actually better now, but there was a minute there where I thought this thing is going to, this whole generation is going to go sideways.
I tell you, your point, Matt, when you said, you know, she's got to know who Eddie Van Halen is. She's 18. I'm 48. And I know who the fuck Billie Eilish is. So it's kind of, it goes the same way, right?
Right. Yeah.
Come on. I know.
Double-edged sword.
Totally. I mean, you're like the queen of pop culture in a minute. You have to know the rest of pop culture, or just a little bit of it. Just some of it.
Yeah. It was funny. I was in the car with my daughter today. I was driving her to school, and I was playing one of the new Extreme songs, hashtag Rebel. And Nuno like has it. He has a killer guitar solo in that. And my daughter is like 11. She's like, this guy's really good. Like, he really shreds. He knows his guitar. I'm like, oh my dear. You think that's
right,
great?
He does.
Pop interruption. And then all of a sudden she's like, whoa.
Uh-huh. Well, so that's a good point. That's actually a good point there, right? Like, if Billie Eilish was asked, you know, about Nuno Betancourt, and she was like, huh, who? Okay, fine. Yeah, not everybody knows who Nuno is. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Van Halen?
which is also a shame to be, you know, I mean, if we're just going to point that out, like, I really think more people need to be talking about Nuno, and probably we should have been talking about Nuno for a lot of years. And I know there's probably some hardcore extreme fans in the audience right now, just thinking like, we have been screaming this, like, okay, fair, but
Nuno's a badass. Nevertheless, there's no question.
Yeah. Nevertheless. But I think, that kind of gives me hope though, with your daughter there, Corey, because it tells me that there's going to come a time where these younger people are going to, especially if they're big music fans, there's going to come a time where they're going to go backwards, because they're still, as they grow, they figure their shit out. They figure out who they want to be. They figure out the music that they want to listen to. There's a ton of stuff that I grew up with hearing from my folks that I didn't care about, so I just sort of dismissed it. But I came back to it, because, you know, in my musical journey, sometimes going backwards is going forward. So all that to say, I'll be the optimistic one right now, kids. Mark it in your calendars and write it down, because it won't happen again. But just keep growing and keep an open mind for other musical ventures, because you may be surprised what you find when you go back to the past, including, you know, the work of Eddie Van Halen. Just saying, just putting that out there. So with all that being said, should we move on over to the poll?
Let's do it.
All right. So we got our polls up. They have not been taken down yet. That's a good thing. We still have access. Last week, we talked about Romeo Delight, a highly manifested track. A lot of people have been asking for this one for a long time. We finally got it, and the results show, because Corey, we got a whopping 94.5% What Dreams Are Made Of with Romeo Delight, and only a 5.5% Dream Is Over. Do you agree with that poll result? Like, do you think that that's fair and apt?
I thought it'd be higher, to be honest with you. I'm looking at the other songs that we've done on Women and Children, and I'll just bring it up here. Take Your Whiskey Home is the current leader from that album with 98%.
98%.
Yeah, which I love that song. Like, we both voted for it. We haven't downvoted a single track off this album. But I would put Romeo Delight ahead of it. Like somebody said, low key, my favorite, you know, top five Van Halen song and my favorite from that album. But I'm looking at the album like, yeah, you know what? I would go Romeo Delight is my favorite from that album too. Like, it is an absolute killer.
How is In a Simple Rhyme at 85? That's a crazy one to me.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
These poll results always fascinate me, because sometimes they seem really obvious and then they'll throw you for a loop. And then the ones that you are so certain is going to go, I mean, there's just never a certainty. And it puzzles me and it intrigues me at the same time. So I'm curious, what are people saying about Romeo Delight? So we're going to go over here to some tweets. And hey, if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join our Patreon. We got a tier for that. So I will just go through and read the tweets from our respective Patreon members. Here we go. So starting with, get this one right here. Ryan Powell, our buddy Ryan Powell, says, everybody wants some, and The Cradle Will Rock get most of the attention. But Romeo Delight is the sleeper favorite of Women and Children First. The solo is top notch, and the breakdown is a masterclass on maintaining intensity without volume. Hashtag What Dreams Are Made Of. That is a very cool and I would say very astute observation. I like that. But I mean, if I'm still counting favorites here, and The Cradle Will Rock still kind of trumps it at this moment, but that's not to say Romeo Delight is any lesser for it.
Well, and that one's still coming up, so don't tip your hand, Mark. Who knows how you're going to vote when we finally spin that song, but
manifest. I mean,
we shall see. Yeah, but I mean, I to be fair, I've also manifested that song before, but that's true, nevertheless. Yeah. Kevin Brown, lurking in the chat. Here we go. Here's your tweet. He says, I agree with Mark on the punk comparison. Thank you, Kevin. If this song were a pair of jeans, the knees would be worn out and the cuffs ragged and covered in mud. Al just abusing that kick drum. Big stops, plenty of Mikey, and a great drawled vocal from the Roth. Excellent album track. What Dreams Are Made Of, Women and Children First, the hashtags. There you go. Thank you very much, Kevin. And it's my favorite tweet so far, just because you said you agree with me, and that always makes me happy.
And it's rare.
It is rare. I know. That's why. Especially that's Kevin. Why I'm happy. Yeah. Especially Kevin. Just to name a few. Rava Flav says this one's got it all. Dave's on point with some top shelf screaming, great lyrics, great backing vocals, some sweet ass hi-hat, climbing bass, and a concert finish where Ed throws in a few SRV sounding chords. He goes on to say Greg Zito is a wheel spinning god, so shout out to Zito. Yes, it was a very good spin, very good track. And speaking of Greg Zito, he says Romeo Delight is a perfect 10. Thank you, Corey and Mark, for having me on the show to discuss this epic track. You're welcome, Greg. Thank you for being on the show. So if you guys missed it, go back and check out the Romeo Delight episode with our friend Greg Zito. All right, moving on. From some guy named Matt Lacoste. I'll go ahead and read your tweet out to you. I forgot the fucking words. One of their heaviest jams ever, plus whiskey party, squeezing, etc. All good things. This is top 10 Van Halen, firing on all cylinders. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Explain yourself, Matt.
It's one of my favorite songs on one of my favorite albums. I mean, I'm a Fair Warning guy, but it's Fair Warning and Women and Children First. Both, like those two, 3 and 4 together. Mm-hmm. What can I say? It's about as metal as they ever got. And I'm more of a metal guy. Those are my tastes. And yeah, you guys kind of nailed it on the breakdown. The Michael Anthony's never sounded better. His bass is so high in that mix and it sounds great. And it's just I hear it and I think that, and I get pissed off about the Van Halen 3 thing every time. I don't know why.
don't invoke its name just yet.
I know. It's such a bummer. But I think I said it. I mean, he's taking whiskey to the party tonight and looking for somebody to squeeze. That's David Lee Roth when he was cool, for sure.
When he was cool. I like that. When he was cool, whatever happened to those days, time is the enemy of us all, but good. Very good points. Appreciate that. Moving forward, the Deep Purple Podcast, I assume that's our buddy Nate, says surprised to see this as the top vote getter, but it is of course an excellent track. Yeah. Same. I mean, I assume people were going to vote this up for the majority, but it's pretty damn high. But then of course Corey thought it would be higher, so again, you just never know sometimes.
Yeah, it's currently sitting second on that album. It'd be top 10 on our polls of all time at 94.5, so it had to be higher. As far as I'm concerned, I would put this I would swap this with Take Your Whiskey Home.
Oh,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So all right. Wabo in Cabo. Sorry. That is our buddy Don says, I love this song. The way it opens with Eddie's playing, leading into a pounding bass intro by Mikey. The song simply kicks ass. This song is all about the things I can't do as a married middle-aged dad. But for 4 minutes and 19 seconds, I'm bringing whiskey to a party and finding a woman to squeeze.
Amen, Don.
Squeeze your wife. Right with some whiskey. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, yeah, like just drink some whiskey. Go squeeze your wife. It's fine.
Yeah. Do that.
You're probably not getting slapped if you squeeze your wife.
Exactly. So do you, man. Do you. Yes. Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Let's see what we got. Here we go. Chaz Mataz says, fucking finally, and I forgot the fucking lyrics. So Chaz is one of those that's been waiting for this particular track. So I hope the show was good enough for you, because I know you've been waiting for it. So there you are. Our friend Scott Monroe says, my favorite on the album, hashtag what dreams are made of, all day long. Inject this into my veins. I love how everyone is already firing on all cylinders when the track starts. It's a hard charging banger and with a really mind-blowing solo build-up and breakdown. What stands out is the sonic interpretation of the pounding heartbeat. I can't think of a song, Van Halen or otherwise, that does it better. David Lee Roth's lyrical poetry matches the vibe perfectly. If you want my take on the lyrical past discussion, become a Patreon and join our Discord. And that is not me making that plug. That was Scott himself. And he is correct. Join our Discord because there was a whopper of an answer that he gave regarding the whole lyrical past discussion. And it warrants, I would say, some further discussion, but obviously not tonight. But at some point, yes. All right.
Absolutely.
With all that, I think that is all of our Patreon comments.
Yeah, no Sean Geek this week. I know he's been a busy fella. He had some birthdays to take care of, and he launched another show called The Metal Shop. Everybody should check out. And I wanted to give another shout out too. Somebody kind of reached out to us on Twitter, started a Three's Company podcast, and I thought that was maybe the coolest fucking thing I ever heard.
How much of that could you do?
I can't wait. It's Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast. Everybody should go check that out wherever you get your podcast from. Sit back, relax, and welcome to the podcast where the kisses are hers and his. Three's Company 2.
Isn't it the same episode over and over again?
I think this is the episode of Three's Company where there's some sort of misunderstanding.
Holy
cow. Yeah, I was about to say, that's hilarious.
Man, that's funny.
Season 3 starts June 1st for that podcast. It's a hell of a lot of fun. I loved that show when I was growing up. Fun fact about Corey, I was told, I don't know if this is true, that I was a distant relative of the guy who played Larry on Three's Company.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that's true, because if I can get like 1/10 of his swagger, I'll be doing all right in life.
Larry was a ladies' man.
Well, there you have it. So there you go. There's some of our tweets by our Patreon members. So if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. Get on a tier that works for you. And not only that, you'll get a lot of other cool, fun, bonus little things that Corey and I can cook up for you. There's really no limit. It's just a matter of what you feel like supporting us, you know? So do that. Go to our Patreon and see what works.
Oh, so I got a perk that... Yeah, here's a perk that Mark and I just talked about tonight before we jumped on the call. We're doing a live show next Friday night. We're going to be doing live right here, right now. We're spinning that wheel, well, twice, and maybe a third time. We're going to get one of the bonus tracks on there, too. But I'm going to put the link on the Patreon. All the patrons are invited to come on the show and talk about live right here, right now. So that includes Matt. That includes all of our friends whose tweets we just read. Anybody who's around on a Friday night, Eric Sanch will be there, too. I think I got Scott Haskin from the Uriah Heep podcast coming on. Come join us. We're going to be talking about that fantastic 4LP set of Live Right Here Right Now that was just released on Record Store Day, which has not left my turntable since my good buddy Kevin Brown shipped it to me.
I think it would.
So how many of those did they press? Do you know, Corey, offhand?
I thought it was 7,000. It wasn't a ton.
Okay. Yeah, by Record Store Day by me in my town, my small town, I got this nice little record shop. They got 100 of them. 100. Really?
Wow.
Yes. And I walked in on Saturday afternoon. They were all sold out. They were gone.
Really?
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. It was like, wait, what? Like, excuse me? Yeah, they were all gone, sold out. So it's the nice find. You got it. Nice job, man.
Yeah. I tell you, and all that day, a bunch of people were direct messaging me on Twitter that know I'm part of the show, saying either I went to my record store, they didn't have any, or I went to my record store and they had a ton and I was able to get it. So I know a friend of mine, he was kind of nonchalant about it. He's like, yeah, I'll pick one up. I'm like, dude, they only press 7,000 worldwide. Like, you better make sure you got something lined up. Like, I got my buddy in Saskatoon. He's going to wait in line the whole nine yards. And then like 3 days later, he's like, oh, did you get a copy? I can't find one anywhere. It's like, I told you, you fucker. And then you start looking on Discogs and it's $250. It's $300. And it's like, now you're going to pay. You're going to pay out the nose. Yeah. It's crazy.
No. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Congrats.
I mean, but I assume that thing was probably going to stay in your turntable for the foreseeable future, just based on the wait time you had for it, the money spent on it, and just the overall enjoyment of the actual product. So
it sounds great. Really great remaster on that one. Kidding. It sounds phenomenal. Yeah.
Incredible stuff. So there you go. Yeah. Tune into the live show where we really get into it. And for the Patreon members, join us in our live stream. And speaking of joining us, won't you please join us as we make our way to the wheel? But before we spin the wheel, we do the other favorite thing that we love to do. Say it with me, manifestations, in which we manifest. Yep, there you go. In which we manifest the track that we want to hear on the show tonight. And guess what? Since Corey and I are not alone, we have a guest. I throw it to you, Matt. Matt, you're not a stranger to this. You're not a stranger to manifestations. You've done this. So
I'm not.
What pray tell do you want to, what will tickle your fancy for the show tonight? What song, what do you want to manifest for the show?
Well, I did manifest the first time. Now it was not a total manifest. I gave three songs, but I got one of them and I got Unchained. I did get that. So whatever I say now is not going to happen. Let me ask a quick question. Has I'm the One been done yet?
I'm the number one. It has been done. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, we did. Really?
Yep. 92.5%.
Okay. I got back up. My friends and I were discussing that song just the other day because there's an isolated guitar track to I'm the One on YouTube, and I'm sure there is for everything, but that one in particular, that is one of the most crazy Eddie performances of all time. Give that a listen. I will manifest tonight because it has to happen, and The Cradle Will Rock.
Right. Woohoo!
Let's go.
It is our namesake, and it has it is interesting that it has eluded us all this time. So that it's bound to happen probably sooner rather than later. So yeah, I wouldn't be mad about that. But it would be really cool if we got that one on a live show. But hey, look, whatever the wheel bids is what we do. We are out of caveats and we're out of we can't pull a mulligan or what have you. We've done that too many times.
The wheel doesn't care. It doesn't give a fuck like the honey.
It doesn't.
Bed.
Yeah. And every time we do something the wheel isn't a fan of, the wheel repays us in kind. So I'm not looking forward to that. So I won't mess with the structure. So
look forward to Josephina.
Oh boy, Corey, what track are you feeling tonight? What I mean, part of me wants to say you can't say any of the live right here, right now stuff because we got to save that. So other than that, what do you want to hear tonight?
I tell you, first I'm going to go to the YouTube chat where our lurkers are, Per Lineker being one of them, Kevin Brown. Don has joined the chat as well. Kevin pointed out, he reminded us that I'm the One was on a live show. It was actually one of the, I think it was the Epic Marathon, like 4-hour fucking live show.
Oh, that's why I missed it.
Why I didn't remember it.
He had to go pick up his kid when we were talking about it. He was pissed off about that. But I'm just going to go to the Discord server here where the Van Halen talk happens all the time. Oh, yeah. If you're on the Patreon, you can join us. Scott Monroe figures we need some Van Halen 2 love this week. He's manifesting You're No Good. And Kevin Brown wants all Sammy tonight. He's going with Get Up. I love Kevin Brown with all my heart. And by the way, go listen to the 100th episode of the Tom Petty Project. I got to catch it this week. Finally, fantastic. He actually gets interviewed about his love for Tom Petty. It's a great, great podcast. But I'm going to lean more towards Scott Monroe this week. I want a little Dance the Night Away from Van Halen 2.
Dance the Night Away. Ah, wouldn't that be? That would just be lovely. All right. Okay. And then let's see. I actually was feeling a balanced track, but I couldn't make up my mind of the ones that we haven't done from Balance yet. But I was like, what do I really want to hear from Balance? Other than the obvious one that a certain somebody else always manifests at this point. So instead I'm changing my mind, and I know I'm going from a Sammy to a Dave. I would really like to hear and have a discussion about Jamie's Crying. That would be a fun one to have just to have a talk, not to tip my hand or anything. It's like, we need to have a talk about this one.
One of the most sampled drum beats of all time.
Yep.
And you know, yeah, and it's understandable as well. So that's what we got going on there. We have our manifestations. We're locking them in. We're ready to spin the wheel. So Corey, whenever Sammy's ready in the back, whenever you're ready, whenever Matt's ready, I say we do this thing.
Here we go. I've been asking for this one for months. Hear about it later from Fair Warning. Yes.
Ooh, another Fair Warning track.
Wow, that's crazy. That was going to be one of my picks. That was when I picked the last time, it was that, Unchained, or So This Is Love, because those are the three live videos that were going around. Anyway, cool.
Those are good ones. Look how close we were to somebody, I mean, a doctor and humans being. I mean, that... Very, very close to it.
Bullet Head, Hang 'Em High, bunch of good ones.
A lot of good ones. Black and Blue was almost going to be my choice.
Yeah,
yeah. Black and Blue, baby. Yeah, that's a good whatever portion of the wheel. There's no Gary to be found.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and I mean, by the grace of the wheel or the gods, whomever, we are nearly done with Gary's turn. In this whole journey, anyway, in terms of Van Halen, anyway, for the wheel. Sure. So you can't see it. It's sadly there is one still lurking in there, but we're almost good with that one. But luckily for us, we don't have to talk about that yet. Nope, we are heading over to Fair Warning.
Let's go.
Any notes? Anything to speak on this before we actually start the song?
So I would say, I mentioned before, my intro to Van Halen was MTV when I was really young. And the Fair Warning album featured a tour that featured three videos that were in rotation on MTV. And it was Unchained, So This Is Love, and Hear About It Later. Three separate clips. Unchained got most of the play, but occasionally Hear About It Later would come out. And, you know, It's one of those clips. It's great. It's David Lee Roth being Roth. I got myself a brand new Oakland scarf right here. Yeah, yeah. He's doing that whole crazy shit. But then they ripped that song up. And then, I don't know, that's my In a Simple Rhyme on Fair Warning. It's just, I think it's a side one closer. Like, yeah, on the cassette. It was the end of side one. Hear About It Later. And it's that... After all that darkness and all that kind of metal, it's the harmonic melody of Van Halen taking over with the background vocals and that cool chorus, man. This is a killer track. This is one of my favorites, for sure.
Well, we know where he's going to be leaning pretty hard by the end of this this run through. But hey, nevertheless, I know exactly how... I'm going to pretend like I have no about this song and I'll go to it as fresh as possible. I have the benefit though, that Hear About It Later is not one that I've constantly put in rotation in terms of Van Halen's song. So it'll be easier to fake it, but I am aware of it. Corey, anything to add before we spin this track?
Yeah, I can't really fake it. I've been manifesting this one for off and on for quite a while. I know it's a favorite of Kelsey Van Halen. If she's listening, we love you, Kelsey. I know whenever I think I manifested this on a show she was on and she flipped out, loves this song. Low key, maybe my favorite song on Fair Warning. And like Matt was talking about, where it's sequenced is perfect. You're coming off Mean Streets, Dirty Movies, and then Sinner Swing, and then right in Hear About It Later. It's just great bit of sequencing there by Ted Templeman. And this was a single. The fourth single released off of Fair Warning in 1981, originally written on a keyboard. For all you trivia hounds out there, yeah,
it's crazy.
It was later recorded on a Fender Stratocaster. So,
well, how about that?
There's a lot to talk about in terms of guitar on this one. Mark's going to have a heyday. So, what do you say, boys? If you're ready, I think maybe it's time to hear about it later.
If it's time to hear about it, then let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back. All right. Mark's camera's off. I'm hoping he's still there because I want to ask him about that intro there from Edward Van Halen. There's some are speculating that there's maybe a flanger on that. Matt, are you a big guitar guy? Would you know about that?
Not technical. I can kind of speak the language, but not totally. And my ear is not that great when it comes to guitar, not like friends of mine. So I wouldn't be able to say it, but I'll say this. Roth coming in on that guitar with that kick when that thing comes in is everything that's wrong. That is
perfect.
That is just great.
Yeah. Mark, what did you think of that melodic intro from one Mr. Edward Van Halen?
It does sound like there's a flange on the, or a flange, however you would say that word exactly, that effect in that riff. I really do like that opening riff, though. It's sounds to me like kind of signature Eddie, you know, when he's not fully distorted, he's just kind of, you know, picking around. This sounds like a riff that he would absolutely just come up with. Like, it sounds like Eddie. Once you get to hearing the way certain musicians play a particular way, you can just spot it. So yeah, this is just like prime Eddie.
Per Lenniker in the chat even says an MXR flanger for sure.
There you go.
Yep.
I will not debate you. That's probably 100% accurate.
Rava Flav joined us in the chat too. He says this is his favorite, and I'm right there with you on Fair Warning. Like I said, I shouldn't tip my hand, but God damn it. It's here about it later. Love this fucking
thing. Nice. What's awesome about those backing vocals there, and they're so incorporated so early in the song, it's just Michael, right? It's just him and Michael Anthony. There's not the whole full harmony. It's, I don't know, man. There's something about the way they do that when they layer it, when they go with just one, and then the next time, especially in this chorus where it's all of them, you know, maybe even multi-tracked, but when they need to, Sammy did it too with Michael. It just, God, it's great to hear. I love it.
Whenever you need a little punch, you need a little punch on the word bills. It's like, Mikey, come on down that. Just
yeah, that bills. Yeah. It's so cool, man.
Oh, it's water. Yeah. When they get those vocal layers put together and harmonize real, real tight, it's nothing short of perfection, in my opinion, as far as like rock harmonies go.
Also, Roth's lyrics on this song are tight. I mean, they're really good. I mean, in a way that's just like so Rothian, the beat poet bullshit, whatever the hell. Ain't got no money, got no house on the hill, tell me, honey. And here's the thing. It's his vocal inflection when he sings the stuff. Like, even reading it, it's like, yeah, it's cool. Whatever, maybe it's dumb. Maybe it makes no sense at all. But the way he sings it and delivers it, I don't know, man.
It's the attitude.
You could sell me Roth ketchup. Attitude. What's that?
It's that Roth attitude. I was watching a thing on the Muppets, and they talked about how, Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem, they incorporated a lot of David Lee Roth kind of into their sketches in the Muppet Show because it's that attitude. You can't explain it. The guy just had swagger.
Swagger is...
Yeah, that's what makes it great. 12
on a 10 scale here. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, no, I was just saying, just reiterating. Yeah, that is a lot of times that's what makes the front man the front man. Doesn't matter about their vocal ability at all, because there are a ton of front men out there from very successful bands that don't sound great vocally, but it's not about how they sing or hit the notes. It's about attitude. It's about their charisma. And I've said a lot about David Lee Roth, but being non-charismatic is certainly not one of his traits. So,
Mark, have you ever asked a honey if her loving would ever pay your bills?
To my knowledge, no. I don't believe I've ever used that verbiage. And I think I've never used it because I knew that it would not give me the wanted results. So I just figured, nah.
It's because you don't have that DLR swagger. That's
I don't have the DLR swagger. That is
I don't want to end up in jail, man.
Yeah, it's like, no, that is one thing. I mean, I could be a front man for a bunch of different bands, but if you're looking for the Rothism swagger for your band, like, I'm probably not your guy just because you can't teach that and you can't fake it. You just kind of have to be it.
Totally.
If you're sitting there listening to that and you're thinking that's not real good, I just can't relate to you as a human being. You know what I mean? Like that's just fucking great.
This is a song that I would play for friends of mine back, like when I was in high school, even, and trying to convince them. I graduated high school in 1992, right? So it's the year of Sammy and all that shit, and that's fine. And I liked Sammy too. And I had friends who were Van Halen fans, but they did not know David. And I would play them this song. This is this one in a simple rhyme, because it'd be like, no, you got to hear this. Listen to it. It's the harmonies, the things. And then it kind of worked part of the time. But that's it, man. That's the sauce right there.
Absolutely. It has more swing than Sinner Swing, which was a song that preceded this on Fair Warning.
So much swing. What were you going to say, Mark? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I don't think it was important.
All right.
Whatever. It's good.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
Rave of Flame says Mike's bass is terrific in the chorus. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That beautiful, I don't want to hear about it. I do what I want to. And then he goes, do what I want to you.
That's
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Dude's at a heater.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, Mark. We give Dave a pass on lyrics like that, but maybe not so much Sammy. Sammy's got some swagger, but does he have DLR swagger?
Well, no, nobody has DLR swagger except for DLR. Like, even, I mean, he's often imitated, but very rarely duplicated. And the only person that comes to mind that might have a semblance of that same exact charisma is maybe the guy from Steel Panther, but that's the only name that comes to mind. And usually he's just doing that because he's playing up who he's supposed to be, you know, character wise. What I was going to say, though, speaking of guitar, as you say, Corey, like, there's a lot of talk about the guitar stuff happening in this song. Eddie is sort of just building this like wall of sound with his guitar tone, but it's not so so out of control that it's taking away from the actual, you know, structure, rhythm, melody of the song. It's actually Mike and Al are holding down that rhythm pretty well. But Eddie is not the focal point whatsoever. He is, but he's just, you can hear him. He's playing the riff that fits the structure, but he's doing a lot of extra shit as well. But it's kind of in the back of the mix, I guess, purposely, because maybe they don't want you to feel like you're being overwhelmed with the sound that Eddie is built. Because like I said, he's kind of building this wall of sound, but the wall is sort of tampered a little bit, or, you know, just to not overwhelm the structure. But it's very interesting if you really, really listen to it, and headphones helps, kids, headphones helps. Mm-hmm. Eddie's doing a lot back there with his guitar and with the maybe it's a lot of it has to do with the effect. But nevertheless, a lot of really cool, interesting stuff. So I would encourage those of you listeners, if you haven't really paid attention to it before, go back and check out the song after the show, of course. Go back and check it and really like tune your ear into what Eddie's doing, because there's a lot happening.
And that said, he's doing all of that, and this album featured a ton of multi-layered tracks. Mm-hmm. When this solo comes... this solo is just it. This breaks down to him, bass, drums, and it is one of the best, I think.
Well, and the solo starts, the guitars drop out. It's all bass and drums. Which is cool. Fantastic. See, what happens, just what you're talking about, right? The guitar just drops away, and we get Al and Mike, right? Al's on the cowbell and fucking killing it, and Mikey's there, and then the guitar gets introduced, and you're going to get this fucking killer solo.
Eddie by himself.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the music, and it'll be more prominent with Eddie coming in, but all of a sudden, the riffs modulate. The music modulates into something. It's not a full key change, but it's close. It's sort of like a deviation, which means it can only come back, because that's just how modulations work. So, but that only that to say, like, this is just a prime example of good musicians making good music, you know, experimenting, trying things out, knowing what they can and can't do. Like, when you know the rules of theory, you can break them. But I mean, within reason, of course.
And by the way, I should backtrack. I didn't mean Eddie by himself. It's Eddie single track. It's Eddie one track.
Right, right. Yeah.
There's no multi tracks here. This is great.
Just
Kevin
Eddie.
Brown. I got Kevin Brown in the chat says it's basically a perfect Van Halen song. Everything the band does well is in this song. 100%.
Yeah. Great.
I love that Al rides that cowbell the whole time.
The whole time.
So cool.
Like, you.
So cool.
The balls you have to be able to do that, and then to do it well and not have people go like, oh, this obnoxious asshole, he's just riding the cowbell the whole time. Really? You're going to do that? Like, yeah, he did. And look, and who's complaining? Nobody. And if you're complaining, you're a liar.
Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead and finish your thought. I was going to say,
I think you guys have nailed this a couple times, where it's absolutely true. Alex and Eddie were jamming in a room, figuring out this, that, the other thing. And that's got to be one of them, right? There had to be a moment where Alex, like, I'm going to do a cowbell thing, and you're going to play a solo, and we're going to do this, and we're going to incorporate it into this thing that we built, or whatever, or, you know what I mean?
Yep. Like, yep, absolutely. Yep.
That's just those two. And then, you know, Michael doing his thing, which is actually a cool bass line too. It's It's sweet, man.
I got to tell you, and Rava Flav, first of all, Per Lineker pointed out the lead tone is hugely thick, none more brown than ants, which is a great comment. But Rava Flav pointed out during the Oakland Coliseum show, Alec and Mike's bridge is twice as long, which makes it even better. That would be really cool live, right? If they were just playing that would be. Yeah, oh my God, that'd be amazing. And Kevin Brown pointed out the bass tone is so fat on the low notes, and it really is.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. And it makes me wonder what Mike's – like, if he's did he switch out basses and is he using a five string? Is he and he's just got it tuned a particular way? Cause yeah, that low end is so low. Or maybe he just knows how to figure out his bass tone, which, you know, good for him, because many people still struggle with it no matter how long they play. But what I was gonna ask, this is, I guess, a producer extraordinaire question for you, Corey, if you happen to have the information. I don't. I wonder how many times Eddie did that solo in the studio, because to me, it sounds like it was a one and done, because it doesn't sound like it was his best attempt, but it was still good enough to where he and the producer or everyone was just kind of like, actually, that works. And he was like, yeah, all right, fine. I don't feel like doing that again. It's like, but it still kind of sounded like there was a moment where he hesitated just to figure out where he was going to go. But then once he figured it out, he's like, oh, okay, cool. How about I do this? And then how about I throw that in there? It's like, what'd that sound like? You know what? I don't feel like doing that again. So just leave it in there. If it sounded good, like, it sounds good to us, because who's going to argue? But it didn't sound like the best attempt, and yet was kept in the final, in the final mastering, because it was still that damn good. So again, I don't know if you have the information or if or whomever does, but to me, that sounded like, I'm going to record this once, and that was all.
You know what? Greg Renoff would know that, I'm sure.
Yes, he would. Of course he would.
And Ted Templeman, of course, would know that. But Greg has interviewed Ted and wrote the book on Ted Templeman, which everybody should go check out. Yes. So I really don't know during the recording of this. I just thought it was weird. And I'm just reading Van Halen News Desk. It's not a typical solo, because it starts with the cowbell drum bass groove before Eddie kind of kicks in. And then he kind of explodes into it with the rest of the band. But
it sounds like a single track, right?
It does. It sounds like the beginning.
It sounds like one recording. There's not a lot. There's no punch in, punch out. He's doing it. It's that thing. Right.
Yeah. It almost feels like the reason why the guitar drops out at the beginning of that solo is, it's almost maybe Eddie took a step back, maybe two steps, to be like, all right, what am I going to do right here? All right, here we go. Let me try this. And like, it literally, to me, sounded like him just winging it, but it was good enough to where it's just, I don't feel like trying that again. If it sounds good, leave it. And it sounded good. It was good enough. So they said, okay, fine, leave it.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't this the album where Eddie was going in at night with his engineer against Templeton and Roth and doing his own thing, and they were kind of back and forth? Wasn't it fair warning that he was doing that? And so maybe that's one of the things, like with the solo, that he did that. He came in, like, recorded a thing, and they were like, oh, I don't know.
Absolutely. It was, early morning. Yeah. Him and Don Landy
was right.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. I'll tell you what, the live video of them doing this, it works so well. It's such a perfect live song, because it doesn't require anything for that solo. And like, you know, it's in the video, it's like Roth blowing a whistle, but then it's Alex and the cowbell. And then Eddie just comes out and does his thing. And this may as well be his guitar solo for the night. You know, it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he didn't have 10 more the rest of the evening, obviously, but
Per Lineker in the chat pointed out, in an interview with a magazine during Fair Warning, Ed mentioned Mike using smaller amps. Does that have something to do with that fatter bass tone, maybe?
Smaller amps? No, if anything, that would, I feel like that would maybe diminish his sound a little bit, but then again, maybe not. I guess it would just depend on what amp he's using and then how he is utilizing that amp. You know, we got the these effect knobs for a reason.
Sure.
And everyone,
it's the,
and everyone
it's has the mic. It's the mic attached to it anyway.
What yeah, do you yeah, yeah. Right? We all have our different preferences on what how we want our sound to come about. So I yeah maybe if it was a if they were smaller amps, then evidently Mike knew how to use them regardless. So and that's just a good trait of a good musician.
Well, all I know is this.
Guess what? I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
You got plenty of
nice. Not a lot of early double bass by Alex Van Halen, but there's double bass there, right? He just kicks it in, the whole thing, the tempo goes up. Such a nice build.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is he actually using a double bass pedal, or is he using just the one? He's just hitting that double time.
I think that's double bass. I may be wrong.
My instinct wants to say yes, but I know that Alex was, I know that there were moments where he just used the one, but it made it, he made it sound like it was double bass. So I honestly don't know. That's just a legit question because I don't know.
You know, we got Kevin Brown in the chat. He's a drummer. Maybe he knows. I tend to agree with Matt. I think it sounds like double bass, but.
I think so too.
Let us know, Kev.
I think he's Alex is so well known for the trick double bass in Hot for Teacher, but he uses double bass a lot otherwise. But
it would make sense.
Not as much earlier. Like it was just kind of here or there, whatever. I don't know. This is one of those where just like tempo, why not do it? Because it's cool.
I don't recall a lot of double bass on Van Halen 1 or 2.
No.
Yeah.
Not a ton, no. Wow. Yeah.
All right.
That's how you end it. Again, a lot of unconventional Van Halen choices on this track, which you know they're not strangers of doing. Sometimes they like to change it up a little bit. There's a lot of classical sounding stuff happening in this track, and then there's also some deviations, but all in a good way. But we'll talk more about that. But there you have it, you guys. We have done another one from Fair Warning. There you go. So. Without further ado, it's now time to get to the nitty-gritty of it all. Matt, you are our guest, a returning guest at that, and you were pretty stoked, pretty excited for hear about it later. So, and I alluded that I already knew how you were going to vote, but maybe, just maybe, I'm wrong. So tell us, let the audience know, would you give Hear About It Later a What Dreams Are Made Of, or... do I even bother?
Shocker. It's one of my favorite songs on my favorite Van Halen album. It's everything. What I love about this album is that even though it's dark and kind of the heaviest one they do, there are the lights, right? And this is one of the lights. Hear About It Later is one of those songs that gives you just that melody in the chorus and the bridge. It gives you that kind of escape from the rest of the craziness that album is. So if it's a yin and a yang kind of thing, it's almost like Unchained is up here and Hear About It Later is under here. And I just love the way this song sings, man. And I love the Eddie Van Halen guitar solo. I think the performance from all four of them is perfect. It is the most thumbs up of a possible thumbs up for me. And gosh, I'm really glad I'm 2 for 2 on this show with the songs. Anyway, thanks. Yeah,
you are blessed.
Yeah, all the thumbs up, he says. So definitely Amen. What all the dreams are made of for Matt. Corey, though, do you share Matt's sentiment, or were you a bit soured on this track? I know you had manifested it before, but did it hit you where it needed to hit you this time, or did it not? Was it What Dreams Are Made Of, or is the dream over?
Oh, it's a close one. It's my favorite song on Fair Warning. Obviously, I'm upvoting this one. And I'm just looking in the chat here. Kevin Brown thought it was a double kick as well. And then he asked, didn't he have that crazy kit back then with 4 kick drums? So I put a picture. You guys can see it on your screen. There's Alex Van Halen with the 4 kick drums. Absolutely correct, Kevin Brown. Good job. Don joined us in the chat, says not many songs have a better ending than this one. Absolutely correct. Perry Lineker says that's the way to end a song, son. And Rainbow Flame says, wow, indeed. This is... Like I said, if you downvote this, I can't relate to you as a human being. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. You're probably I don't want to get political. I almost said you're probably a Trump supporter. I'm Canadian. I can't really say. Well, as a Canadian, I'll say you're probably a Trudeau supporter. I don't know. I just can't relate to you. It's the best song on one of their best albums. I love this fucking track so damn much. I couldn't have clicked Dreams louder or quick enough on that one. But Mark Kammeyer, famously, you're more of a Sammy guy, a little less as a Dave guy, even mm-hmm. though the stats show you upvoted more Dave songs than Sammy songs. The question is, what's your vote on Hear About It Later? Is this What Dreams Are Made Of, or is the dream over?
What do you think, Lydia? What should I do?
Lydia looks indifferent.
Well, Lydia might be, but I am not. Yeah, this is the only way you downvote this particular track is if you are listening to only 2 songs from Fair Warning, this one, and I would say Unchained. And you had to say, like, well, you only get 1 to upvote and 1 to downvote. And the only acceptable reason is this is like, okay, well, if that's the case, I can't downvote Unchained. I have to. That one is still my favorite from this album. That being said, Hear About Later is absolutely kind of what everyone else has said, kind of what Kevin has said in the chat, that this everything you want in a good Van Halen tune, it's all there. And then some. As I said, they kind of go against their Van Halen traditional isms, and they kind of throw some curveballs your way, but they all work. They all work because these are masters of structuring a particular song with their particular sound. Like they had figured it out at this point. They knew what worked. They knew what didn't work, or they were still figuring out some things that didn't necessarily work, but this works. The album works. This is a good album. I actually didn't realize how much I was really going to enjoy this until we started going through it. But Fair Warning is absolutely a banger of an album thus far, and in no small part due to songs like Hear About It Later. As far as, you know, the individual performances, I mean, yeah, I just reiterate what everybody has said. Everyone is on their A game. It all just it blends together so well. Sounds great. I love the choices that they made. Really, really enjoy this track a whole bunch. It's not my favorite on the album, but man, it's a close second. Hear About It Later is absolutely What Dreams Are Made Of. And I hate to be the one to tell you, Corey, but I need you to prepare your heart for heartbreak because you know there are going to be people that are going to absolutely downvote this song. And I don't understand it, but I just understand that evidently this is just how it works.
Oh, because... you're right. And I'm looking at the fair warning stats right now of what we covered, and it's 90-10 right now for 90% for, 10% against. The current record holder on this album is Mean Street. Surprisingly, 96.7% for, 3.3% against. Unchained, it comes in second at 95.6% for, 4.4% against. I really want to see, hear about it later, beat Mean Street if possible. I'd like to see this in the 97-98% range.
I'd like to place a bet on this see what this falls into. But I'm going to say, hear about it later. I don't think it makes Mean Street. Well, gosh, I'll bet you it's 93%.
93?
That's my guess.
I was going to say, because Mean Street, that's a whopping 96.7%. So, it's a wonder any voting gets that high at this point, because the voting tends to be fickle. I don't know. I mean, maybe because we had such great feedback ahead of time. So maybe hear about it later can reach Mean Street level. But I think I'm in agreement with Matt. Like if I'm taking money to the bookie and putting money on it, I don't think it reaches 96% at all. I would say though, at most, I think this one gets to a 94 at most. Would I like to see it go higher? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would. I'm just saying, if I'm looking at it from a practical point and just based on the history of how these voting polls have gone, I'm going to say it probably does not break the Mean Street numbers, probably 94 at best.
And I'm going to say 95 at best. I think 95? It's the third highest on this album. Behind Mean Street and Unchained. If Unchained only gets 95.6, I think this will come in like right at the 95 level.
We should get 100. Why shouldn't there be 100? There should be one song that's 100.
I know.
I thought we hit those. So literally there are three songs I knew for in my brain. I knew for a fact would be 100%. And
what are your three? What are your three?
The three I was so sure were going to be 100% were Jump, Ain't Talking About Love, and Unchained. And none of them got there.
Okay. I'd say Unchained, Jumped, and Pound Cake, which you haven't seen yet. I don't know one Van Halen fan that can say anything about Pound Cake. That song fucking rules. Obviously, Unchained and Jump is Jump. But the only reason why I would downvote Jump is just because I've heard it 6 billion times and I don't listen to it anymore. But there's a reason.
That's probably why it wasn't even higher than it was. I'm sure what we got here. Yeah. It was 86.4%, which is baffling to me, but it's like you say, I think it got that ranking just because too many people know it. Too many people have heard it.
90%. I would have
definitely voted Panama higher, and I was really bummed out when I saw it was only 90%. But I'm still baffled about the 86.4 on Jump. But I get it, only because everybody knows it. Everyone's probably sick of it. But when Ain't Talking About Love didn't get the Unchained numbers or even or any of those, I'm like, I don't understand. Like I don't understand the voting process. I mean, look, Hot for Teacher was 96.3, which makes sense, but look how high that was. And then Isle Wait got 94. I was actually pretty certain
I'll wait at 94 is insane. If Ain't Talking About Love is 90, that
I know
that's a juxtaposition. Sorry. No,
I know you're preaching to the choir. I get it. But what I will tell you this, you say Pound Cake should be 100%. And I agree. Here's why it won't be, because it's a Sammy tune. If nothing else,
Yeah,
it's because it's Sammy. True. And we, for whatever reason, we have an audience. We love you, the audience, you guys who interact with us and everything like that. But we have audience people, listeners, who are very strongly against anything that isn't Roth era Van Halen. It doesn't matter how it sounds. It's just for the principle of the fact that it's not the Roth era, they are going to downvote any Sammy track, any Gary track every time, even if they don't know the song.
And I can totally get down voting a Gary track, but like,
sure.
Sammy, you know, for all our friends out there that might be listening to this, Sammy's our buddy, man. Sammy carried that band out of their darkest depths. And Roth, of course, the Roth albums are better, but man, there were Sammy tracks that were kick ass, and that Eddie and Michael and Alex all did their best. And fucking Sammy's a badass singer too. And Pound Cake, if you can't get behind Pound Cake, get out of town. Just get out of the bar. Walk away. I don't want to talk to you. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know what? I was earlier, we talked about the Gene Simmons article on the Van Halen News Desk, and never read the comments, especially on the Van Halen News Desk. But the very first comment on that article is from someone named Craven Moorhead. And he said, Van Halen became the Wobbos with a really great guitar player, not a compliment. It's like that. You can't be
that guy's a jerk off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, you're actively trolling on a Van Halen site. Like, just fuck right off. Like, whatever point you think you're making, you're not making it. Like, you're just looking like an asshole. So
Van Halen had a whole second deal with Sammy, and they were, I mean, I'm 18, 92. Well, shit, the math. God, it's hard.
Math is hard.
I was 18. And, you know, I saw that tour. I saw the Fuck tour. I saw OU812 tour. I paid money to see the reunion in 2003 with Sammy. And that was when Eddie was wasted and it was terrible. But no, man, Sammy's great. The Sammy stuff is great. It's just not as great as David. But that's okay. Who cares?
Exactly.
That fight's over.
Here's a question. You could say AC/DC had two Hall of Fame careers with their two lead singers, Brian Johnson and Bon Scott. Did Van Halen have two Hall of Fame careers with Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth?
1,000% yes.
I mean, just on the numbers alone would agree with that. But yes, I absolutely. And just like, you're never going to hear me badmouth Sammy, you know, with the occasion of some of his lyrics don't make sense. But it's like, well, okay, but
you're dopey.
Dave's got those two. Sadly, we've landed on a lot more of Sammy stinkers than Dave stinkers. So of course, I have to downvote those because I'm trying to be impartial. But I'm just calling it like it is. But nevertheless, song by song, one track at a time. That's what we do. But nevertheless, it's I don't think we're ever going to get a 100% poll rating. It doesn't at this point. I can't imagine a song that isn't going to divide people in some way, even if it's something as menial as it's not the singer that I like. Like, OK, fine. But nevertheless, we persevere and we move forward, and moving forward, there you go. Another one down. We're almost done with Fair Warning, but of course we can't leave whatsoever until we play Corey's favorite game. Watch Mark Lou.
How many times do you think Van Halen performed Hear About It Later? Mark, you've been on a little bit of a roll. You've actually gotten close the last couple times.
That is true.
What's the year?
I won last time.
Yep. Price is Right rules. Without going over, how many times do you think Van Halen performed Hear About It Later? And bonus points if you could name the year that they played it last.
Oh. No, I'm not going to try that. I'll just guess the number of how many times they played it. if you're asking me how many times they should have played it live, I would probably say as many times as they did Ain't Talking About Love, which is to say every show. But
by the way, Ain't Talking About Love, I'll give you this number, even though we haven't covered it yet. 1,231 times.
Holy shit.
Fucking hell. All right. I think Hear About It Later was played probably a grand total of 305 times.
305 times. All right, Matt, what are you thinking, my friend? Remember,
all right, I'm not going to be a dickhead. I'm going to say 380.
Okay.
380.
You're both over. The correct answer is 129 times.
Oh, man. Something told me that I was overshooting pretty hard, but
that's surprising.
It really is.
It is surprising.
You know what? Here's one. 1981, they only played it 80 times. And then they didn't play it again. Then they didn't play it again until 2012.
No, really? No shit. They never played it in 83 or 84.
No. Can you believe it?
Like, I can't.
That shocked
me. That's crazy. Yep. That's nuts.
The last time they played it was July 24th, 2013 at the California Mid-State Fair.
Wow. All right. Wow. Well, that's fucked up. That's crazy. Wow.
It's always
when I saw them in the reincarnation with Roth, I think they played it every time. No, they didn't. They didn't play No 8, I guess, whatever. Wow, that's crazy. All right, cool. Whatever.
And it was a single. It was a single off that album. But even Kevin Brown's like, what? That's nuts. I guessed 520.
But here's the thing. Like a single off that album was the worst performing album they had. They didn't have a single, right? Until Unchained took over, classic rock radio 20 years later, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It'd be like
that's a good point. It started with Women and Children. Popularity started to wane a little bit, right? And Fair Warning only went double platinum. It's like their lowest selling album.
It is.
it only went double platinum. They, only. God. Unbelievable.
But until Van Halen 3, which went gold.
Which is still kind of a shocker, but
apologies to Gary. No, it was fucking terrible. It's not shocking.
No apologies, because I mean, you know, for better or worse, he's got that gold record on his wall now, which is, you know, an accomplishment. So like, hey man, whatever, you did it.
God,
you see kids,
that guy's supposed to be the coolest guy in the world too, like.
I really hope he is, and I hope if by some, you know, act of the gods or whatever it is, that he catches wind of this podcast, like, I truly hope he understands we do not mean him any sort of ill will or anything like that. We're big fans. It's just we're not big fans of the particular album he did with this band.
I tell you what, he likes every single tweet we send about Van Halen 3, because I always put out, you know, this week we're covering a Van Halen 3 song. He likes every single one. So, you know, he's not listening. He likes them, but he doesn't listen to the show, because if he listened to the show, he probably wouldn't like the tweets as much.
He probably would. Yeah, he probably wouldn't like it unless, I don't know, man, maybe he's our secret troll who is just like down.
He's
downvoting every David song.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, we're on to you, Gary.
Oh shit, like, I'm going Unchained? Full like, tinfoil fuck hat moment. No. Yeah, like, he's the one. He's gonna be the one. Like, we're never gonna get a 100% poll result, because Gary's gonna be the one to be like, nope, ruined your poll, motherfuckers. Take that. Apologize.
Gary, come on, 100% till Gary showed up.
Oh, jerk. Like, Gary.
Don't ruin the stats, Gary. Come on.
And I am more excited. I am more excited about the
new the room, Gary. For once.
Like, yeah, exactly. So that being said, hey, you guys, go check out that new Extreme album. It rips.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
I like it. I'm in.
So, all right. Well, you guys, speaking of other bands, Corey, you and I, we do this show on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, of course, but we are not the only ones that do podcasts on the network. There's a whole slew of people, awesome people with awesome shows dedicated to the network. Can you please give them a rundown of what they might be in for?
My pleasure. On the Deep Dive Podcast Network, you could find shows like Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin. John and I also do a show called Backtracks Theme Music. We just celebrated our 50th episode covering Bohemian Rhapsody from the movie Wayne's World. So that's a lot of fun. Go check out that show. Scott Haskin also does the Uriah Heep Show, the Magician's Podcast. You'd also catch Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joan, David at the In the Lap of the Pods podcast. That's All Things Queen. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, the Hawk Win podcast. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest cast. Clay and Riot North by South podcast. That's covering American music versus Canadian music. It's an awful lot of fun. Go check that out. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth. They just came through Saskatchewan. I missed them when they were in Saskatoon, but they put on a great show every single time. Kevin Brown, our good buddy, and the reason why I have a copy of Live right here, right now on vinyl, does two shows. One of them just celebrated their 100th episode, The Tom Petty Project. He's just finishing up Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. He's got a lot of great albums to come, so check him out there. And Kevin and Randy Woods do a show called Seaside Pod Review, doing a familiar format where they put all the Queen songs on a wheel and they spin it every week, and they do break down a track every single week. Yep. It's completely original and 100% a lot of fun. Go check him out there. Then we have Quinn at And Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, and Chaz, our good buddy Chaz, and Greg at Recording Lulu, breaking down the album Lulu with Metallica and Lou Reed. God bless them. I wouldn't have the patience for that. And a few shout outs to our favorite podcast, including Sean Geek and Fast Fred Podcast, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast. Of course, our good friends at the DLR cast and the Bogus Otis Show. They just did a crossover talking about that ill-fated tour with Sammy and Dave. That's a lot of fun. Check out that show. Of course,
let me just say, I listened to that pod. That pod is amazing.
It really
the amount
is.
Of little nuggets that come through, it's pretty crazy. I saw that
Absolutely.
Tour, and I tell you what, David blew Sammy off the stage, but it was also early in the thing, and David tried to, and Sammy did not. It was so fucking crazy, man. Like, David had his long hair. He was 50-something years old. His band was just ripping. They did nothing but early Van Halen. And then Sammy came out and was like, huh? And it was just like the Wobberitas, and it was Jimmy Buffett. What a crazy time. But those guys nail it. They nail it. They nail it now.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yeah, they are fantastic. Go check out that show. Of course, check out our friends at Pod of Thunder. They're on a bit of a hiatus right now because one of them just had a baby. Or I'm assuming their wife did, not one of them, but they're killing it every single week. Booked on Rock, of course, our good friend Eric Senich, who a little birdie tells me will be around for our live show next weekend. Dissect That Film. They've been on the show. They're fantastic. And I'm adding this to the podcast role every week now. Three's Company 2, Rewatch Podcast. Go check them out as well.
Fun stuff all around. And speaking of fun, you want to have fun, go to podcastwillrock.com. Find some merch. You can also find all of the shows that we have posted, the shows that we've done, all the goings-ons. Go check out that site. And while you're there, head on over to the link for our Patreon. Find a tier that's right for you. Look, Corey and I, we can simply do what we've always been doing, or we can do a little more. Some of you guys have been asking us for just a little bit more. So if you want that guaranteed, head on over to the Patreon, find that tier, and we will make it happen. So big shout out to the patrons we already have. I'll go through the list real quick. Ryan Powell, Scott Monroe, Per Lineker in the chat. What's up, man? Kevin Brown, also in the chat. Sean McGinnity from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Chaz Charles, a.k.a. Chaz Mataz. Don DiTallo, a.k.a. Wabo and Cabo. Greg Zito. Josh Rava Flav. Nate from the Deep Purple podcast. And, of course, our honored guest for the show tonight, Matt Lacoste. Matt, thank you so much for being on the show again. You got an awesome track we got to talk about. We got to jam out, throw in some little nuggets here and there. Thank you so much for being a part of it, man. Anything you want to plug, anything you want to shout out whatsoever, the floor is yours.
No plugs. Thanks for having me, guys. And thanks for doing this thing. I love the podcast, and I'm looking forward to the last, 1,000 episodes.
Well, I tell you,
it's going great.
We have 41 Van Halen tracks left to go, but Keep it going. Yeah, 41. But, we're talking, once we exhaust the Van Halen catalog, we might do a different wheel a week. So we might do a Sammy wheel 1 week, a David Lee Roth wheel a second week. A third week would be dedicated to Extreme and Mammoth. And then a fourth week with Van Halen influences, where we get a little bit of everything, like ZZ Top and everything that kind of made Van Halen what it was. So even though we're 41 shows away from ending the Van Halen catalog, we got a ton of shit left to go.
This sounds great. I'll be listening to all of it. And thanks, you boys, for putting this thing together. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And if you want to really tune in to hear some fun and probably a little bit of debauchery, live show next Friday. Yes, next Friday, Corey. Yeah,
that's right. Next Friday.
There we go. Yes, next Friday. I know what it is. Live show. So tune into our YouTube channel. Podcast will rock. Be on the lookout for that. Tune in, and hopefully we will have. We're going to go through this at this point, the infamous record that is now in Corey's possession, live right here, right now. So that's sure to be fun. Sure to have some crazy, awesome guests, as we typically do on our live show. So want to be part of that? Tune in. On behalf of Matt Lacoste and Corey Morissette, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.